Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to agricultural marketing and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman, your agri-marketing pros.
Welcome to today's Zimcast, and right now today we're speaking with Blair Fannin, who is Associate News Editor and Communications Specialist, Agricultural Communications at Texas A&M University. Blair, why don't we start out just you telling us a little bit about yourself?
Cindy, I have a print news background. I've got a journalism degree from Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas, and I started out in newspapers being a sports writer, and then later on became a business writer at the Bryan College Station Eagle here in College Station, Texas, and covered agriculture, covered banking, finance issues, water issues, and then made the jump to agricultural communications here at Texas A&M about 5 years ago. And so now I'm on the other side of the fence trying to get our news and information out to the news media and to to the masses. So it's been a pleasant transition for me.
Now, the reason we're speaking with you is because you do a little thing called Ag News Weekly. What is that, and where can people find it?
Well, Ag News Weekly is a podcast, and podcasting is kind of a new technology that utilizes MP3 players. Of course, everybody knows, I think, what an iPod is, made by Apple Computer, but there are also other MP3 players out there. And what we're trying to do is create some audio content that people can carry with them on their iPod and listen to at the gym, if they're traveling in the car or on the airplane. It's another medium for us to get our agriculture news out of here, what's going on at Texas Cooperative Extension and the Texas Agricultural Experiment Station. So, and it's been a fun little project. I took the lead on this, and my powers that be have kind of let me take this over and kind of watch it and nurture it. And I think it's going to be something that's really going to blossom. We've got probably 100 subscribers so far. There's been plenty of download activity, and the audience varies. I've had a weekend rancher down the Houston area who pulled it off and sent me an email and said he liked it. Also caught the attention of a county district extension administrator in Florida whose son happened to be the web development director at CNN, and he had been downloading the program and was listening to it on his iPod while commuting to work there in Atlanta. So the audience varies. We've got listeners here in the United States, and then we've also got some listeners in Canada, Holland, and some other countries that I've received emails from. So it's been interesting to see who's listening to the program.
Well, it is such a brand new technology. When did you start doing it, and really why?
Well, I was playing around with audio about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I'd carry around a digital audio recorder when I go and interview my extension specialists or my experiment station researchers, and go back and listen to my notes and type up my print story. But I thought, well, with the internet being so versatile today, and it's really a two-way web where we're seeing more dialogue between the publisher and the readers, that I thought, well, why don't we experiment with putting audio interviews up on the web? Well, then RSS, which stands for Really Simple Syndication Technology, came along, and I learned how to implement an RSS feed on our agnews.tmu.edu website. And so that led to podcasting, where you're able to include audio enclosures into an RSS feed, and people are running iPod or software, a special software that allows you to automatically subscribe to different audio programs, and it will automatically download your computer and sync to your iPod. Well, that's just a great way for us to jump on this and get our audio news out and try this. So it's a little complicated from our end. I had to do a lot of study, but it's been a lot of fun.
Looking at it in terms of cost, if somebody else wanted to do this, how much would it cost them to do it?
Well, I'll tell you this, and I'll be quite honest, I had no budget. I started gathering. I had a Apple PowerBook here in my office that I use, and I gathered a microphone that I had. I started looking around, hunting around the department for audio equipment to use, and so it didn't cost us a dime to get started. And of course, that was pleasing to our administrators here. We've already had the tools necessary to use. But I would say for anybody who, all you have to have really is a computer and some type of microphone, and there's plenty of free software out there that you can download to record your podcast. And that's the beauty of podcasting, is that it's an art. I think it really is an art. There's so many talented people out there that never really realized that they could do podcasting or do these audio reports. So I think that's why podcasting is rising in popularity.
Well, I guess it's a lot cheaper than owning your own radio station or even buying time on one, right?
Absolutely, and I think podcasting is... Radio hasn't been challenged yet until now. Podcasting has challenged radio. And for us, we have our traditional farm press, our farm radio guys, and they do a wonderful job. But with this bigger radio companies, media companies, absorbing all the radio stations across the country, it becomes more difficult for us to get our message out to those radio stations. So podcasting is a perfect method for us, for a new tool, a new way to get our message out to the masses. And it obviously it hasn't cost us a lot of money.
Obviously, your subscriber base is increasing. You're getting more and more people listening to it every day. But how do you do anything to promote it?
I'm still in the process of trying to develop a model where we can fully market this new feature. I'm still collecting, data and so forth, because obviously I just can't go in and say, hey, this, we've got X amount of subscribers. I mean, I have to have some, concrete data to sell it. And so we're in the process of overhauling our website at agnews.tmu.edu, and hopefully by this summer we'll have that launched and we'll be able to do some, some good marketing. But it's really sold itself. I mean, we've had so how it started was I got hooked up with Adam Curry, who started the first podcast, Daily Source Code, and I sent some email to him and told him that we were doing this agriculture podcast. And lo and behold, he downloaded the podcast and gave it a little teaser in his program. And then he added a agriculture directory at iPotter.org, and that's how it all kind of got started. And then all these different podcasting sites like Podcast Alley started popping up and listing Agnews Weekly. So here's all this free marketing, all this free advertising that just started. It just kind of snowballed, and we haven't really, gone out and told the masses about this. So it's really, really been fun to watch.
Now, what are your future plans? How do you see this growing in the future?
I think I could see this us partnering maybe with some radio stations, possibly. I see more and more iPods probably sold in the next 2 years. I think there's something like 20 million iPods out there right now. So I think what we're probably going to do, obviously every story that we put out, may not warrant an audio report, but I think what we're going to try to do is try to do more audio reports with the good stories and offer those as podcasts for people who can, download it. So I think that's kind of the approach that we're going to take right now.
With the interest that is being generated at Texas A&M, do you see other departments of Texas A&M starting to podcast?
I think you could see probably our athletic department do this. I think it has a lot of possibilities, with the coaches' shows, capturing interviews with athletes and so forth, doing a weekly roundup of sports. I think it's got a lot of possibilities. That would be a good selling point for, the alumni who are away from College Station and want to find out what's going on, more so than what they could get, say, from, traditional radio or newspapers. I think it really, podcasting is just another method of providing more in-depth reporting on the subject that, that you're trying to get out there about, and so I think it has a lot of possibilities in the future.
Sure. Okay, that's really all the questions I have. Blair, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'm just really excited. Podcasting is time-shifted audio. I mean, you can listen to it at your convenience, and that's the beauty of it. You don't have to be sitting you know, by your radio, trying to catch that program every day. It's just there for whenever you want to listen to at your leisure on a, say, a Sunday afternoon drive, you know, whether you're traveling, you know, 5 hours, 6 hours in the car. It really, really helps pass the time, and you know, it also targets people that we may not have been able to target in the past.
We really could revolutionize farm broadcasting, agricultural communications.
Absolutely.
We've had less and less people being involved in farm broadcasting over the years.
Absolutely, and agriculture certainly deserves it. If, you know, podcasting is just another example of how we can get the news and information out, and you know, I'm really concerned about the future of our news consumers. You know, you take the 30 and under crowd, they are so internet savvy, and we have got to be on top of this new technology and the way we get our news and information out. So if we can you know, promote agriculture through podcasting or through blogging or some other form of technology, that's just great. We all need to be on top of these new tools.
All right, one more time, give us the name of your website, where they can find your podcast.
Okay, for right now, it's at calhan.tmu.edu/agnewsweekly.html.
Okay, and we'll put that on there on the website also in as a link, okay?
Great.
All right, well, very good. Thank you very much, Blair Fannin, for being on the Zoomcast.
Thank you.